All right. Mike Warman, thank you so much for joining us. Director of Maritime Affairs at the South African Association of Freight Forwarders. What is the immediate impact on yourself and your members when a cyber hack of this nature takes place at something of the scale of Transnet? Welcome.
Good morning, Rupiwe, and thank you. Yeah, there are many impacts. I guess the most immediate one is a lot more work, because what happens is that we are now chasing our tails, trying to find places to put containers where we have no place to put them, trying to extract containers from the port for our customers who need them urgently and we can't get them. And it's a long list of a litany of stuff like that that goes on and on. So it has been a very busy and not a particularly happy week for people in our industry.
I can only imagine, Mike. So that, I suppose, indicates to me that a cyber hack is a deal breaker. Is that right?
Oh, yes, yes. I mean, we always talk about supply chains. And if you want to know how to break chains, this is a very good way of doing it. Deal breaker, chain breaker, yes, that's exactly what's been happening.
And about how many, I mean, if you have to look at the clientele of Transnet, I just looked at that app yesterday, the website that allows you to see sort of shipping movement. You see the little green boats and the red boats of people who, and of course the Suez Canal is packed. And just in a matter of days, it went from something like 20, 30 boats around the Cape Town Harbour to like 3 yesterday. Is it possible to move that quickly as a shipper?
Well, no, it's not the shippers that do that. You see, the owners of the vessels, rather than boats, we call them, the owners of the vessels.
Sorry.
No problem. They need to move their vessels into a schedule. They keep them in a fairly tight schedule around the world. They can't afford to hang around too much waiting for something like this. So what they do is they bypass. They go straight past our port, and they go and drop your cargo somewhere else. For example, we may have a vessel coming past here, and I've seen this happen, that goes past Cape Town, goes on to Luanda, drops the cargo there, and the next time they've got a vessel coming this way, they bring it back again. So they don't leave it there. And I've seen one in the other direction stop off at Singapore. Now, what that means is that the owner of the cargo, of course, is going to wait an extra month or two for his cargo. And that can be a serious problem for him, because he needs to keep his factory open or whatever it is. He needs to keep, you know, stock on his shop counters. So all of this becomes a big hassle for the man in the street. And I'm sure you're going to hear more about that from your next guest.
Absolutely. And so with this deal breaker, that happens, I suppose, as you rightly say, at the level of the person who is the ship, who is actually made the order, the owner of the cargo. We're worried about things like export at this particular time, not just imports. It's supposed to be a very massive seasonal time for us to move our citrus. The Citrus Growers Association is saying that they can use private terminals. Is this a long-term solution?
Oh, yes, I think it is. I think in general terms, some form of private involvement in our terminals is important. And why I say that is that looking at our close competitors around the coast here, they are, of course, licking their lips. And I talk about places like Maputo and Beira and Nacala up in Mozambique and Walvis Bay on the west coast. And or even further north, you can look at Dar es Salaam and even up into Somalia. All of those all of those ports can play a role in moving cargo that we are currently moving through our port. So that's one issue. But you talk about the fruit industry, and it's not just citrus. The deciduous fruit is in full swing as well from the Cape. Citrus probably more from Mpumalanga and Limpopo, but and also from the Cape. And what happens now is that stuff has been picked. Some of it has already been packed in containers, and it has to go somewhere. It's every cold store, every place that can keep fruit cool is probably full. They probably had to stop picking, and the stuff is just not moving. And these are big volumes at this time of the year, and it just can't move. It also has lifespan issues or, you know, limited shelf life issues, and you can't keep it forever. So the supply chain in terms of fruit exports has been severely disrupted. And, of course, there are lots of other exports that go out of here as well. So exports and imports equally affected, yes.
We've also heard, Mike, that there's a concern about rice and wheat imports that may potentially be at risk amongst those perishables. Yeah. Is that something that you're seeing amongst your clients?
It happens, but bulk vessels, you know, took what I've been saying now mainly applies to container ships.
Yes.
Bulk vessels are impacted as well. but they can be handled by means of a manual process. Now, that's a little easier with a bulk vessel than with a containerized one, because a bulk vessel has just the one commodity on board, shipped to one consignee. Whereas containers, of course, there are hundreds of them, thousands, in fact, on some ships.
Right.
And they're each for different people. So that's a much more complex exercise. And Transnet losing its control over them in terms of the computer hack has made it virtually impossible to identify and extract containers from the terminal. So that is the more immediate problem. And, you know, in terms of that, we think that Transnet's handling of this has not been good. The first 4 days, very little seemed to happen. It was almost like deer in the headlights stuff. And then communication around this has been, we think, very poor.
So
we know there was an attack. We still don't know what kind.
Okay. That was going to be my next question, Mike, is what has Transnet told you as a client? Because you deserve to get the answer first and foremost, even if they don't want to talk to us. Were they forthcoming about saying it's a force majeure? It felt, or at least a cyber attack, it felt as though they were mum, scrambling, and then just declared a very dramatic move, and then not much detail, which is, I guess, textbook South African government. But how were you approached as a client?
Yeah, I think you've characterized it very well. In the first 4 days, very little except that, oh, we have a problem and our systems aren't working and, you know, we're going to have to do what we can about it. By about, and I can't remember exactly, but probably around about day four, they did confess to the fact that this was an attack. And I don't know why they should worry about that. These things happen, you know. Some of the world's major corporations have been hacked. This is not unusual. So anyway, they've been hacked, but there was still no sort of characterization of what it was. So in other words, was this a ransomware attack or was it something else? We still don't know. As far as I know, they haven't announced anything yet. And then it was all about the mitigation measures they're taking, which obviously they put as good a spin on that as they could. And they're still talking about how it's sort of back to normality and everything's right. Well, it isn't yet. I'm sure it will get there.
Right.
But they're trying to make things sound, I think, a whole lot better than they actually are.
Which actually kind of does them a disservice, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. So now, unfortunately, as a client, I can no longer actually trust you. I need to go with someone who's more forthcoming.
And it's
not the cyber attack that's going to screw them over. It's their response.
I think so. And, you know, they're vulnerable because, as I said, the competitors are out there licking their lips. And it's not too difficult for a citrus exporter in Mpumalanga, for example, to move his cargo to Maputo. In fact, it's closer than Durban. So the attraction to do that, the temptation to do that, will be strong. If the ships are there and available to carry your cargo and the price is right, they're going to do it.
Mm.
And the same applies to, even to a greater extent, to the mineral exporters up north in places like DRC and Zambia. To move their cargo out through the Mozambique ports is not that difficult, and I'm sure they attempted to do it. In fact, I would imagine some of them have probably started doing it already.
Even with that local...
Just saying, it imbalances our trade, you see. So now, instead of having South African exports going up there and other imports going up there and having cargo to bring back, you've got perhaps a one-way trade, and that doubles the cost for the people who earn that cargo. So the ramifications carry on and on.
Okay. I appreciate this, Mike. No word from the president. He's very happy to announce the National Ports Authority, but no word on this. We'll keep an eye on it. Mike Warwin is the director.
Just a last word, last word on that National Ports Authority. Yes, what he announced the other day wasn't, in fact, startlingly new. There is a National Ports Authority, but it's all included in the greater Transnet as a division. And all he's doing is corporatizing it, taking it out and making it more responsible with more of the spotlight on it.
Got it.
So nothing really new there.
I appreciate that, actually. Mike Warwin is the Director for Maritime Affairs at the South African Association of Freight Forwarders. I want to hear from you if you're a business owner that either relies on imports or exports and how this impacts